Your Bibles to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis 42. Lay a little groundwork. I'm going to do a little reading. So I want you to stay with me, and then I want to just bring a thought or two from it. But you're familiar with, most of you will be familiar with this story in which we're reading. It is where Joseph's brothers are coming before him. Now remember, Joseph, the favorite of his father, wore the coat of many colors, was taken and sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. And he ended up in Egypt. And God worked it out where he raised up in the ranks, where now he interpreted a dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh and God was going to send 7 years of plentiful harvest, then 7 years of famine. And so he used Joseph to prepare Egypt to lay in store everything they could in the plentiful years to have in the famine years. And so they did that. And now Joseph's brothers had thought that he was dead at this time. They didn't have any idea he was still alive. And they come before him, and their father sends them because they hear that there's food in Egypt. And they come and they stand before Joseph. And the Bible says that Joseph remembers a dream he had, the one that made him so mad, that they would bow down before him. And now they're fixing to bow down before him. If you look in chapter 42, the Bible says in verse number 6, and Joseph was a governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came, bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now get this, he knew them, they didn't know him. Verse number 8. And Joseph knew his brother, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. And so Joseph then, he spake unto them, he said to prove it, in verse 16, he said, send one of you and let him fetch your brother, because they'd come without Benjamin. And Benjamin was Joseph's only real full brother. Everybody else was his half-brother. And so he wanted to see Benjamin, and Benjamin was not with him because Jacob, after he lost Joseph, he kept a pretty tight rein on Benjamin because he didn't want harm to come to Benjamin. And so he sent them back, but he told them that they would, after staying 3 days there, and of course imagine what emotions they were going through. If you look on down, he says in verse 20, but bring your youngest brother unto me, and so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And they said to one another, now you've got to understand, he'll tell this in a minute, but they were speaking Hebrew. They didn't have any idea that this guy that was speaking that they were before could understand what they were saying because he was using interpreter to speak to them. In verse 21, it says, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore, in this distress come upon us. Now let me stop right there and say this. Sometimes we think when we go through rough times that tears our heart out. We go through all these emotions of fear, anger, scared. We go through anger, different things. Sometimes we think that God has just forgotten us. Sometimes we look at people like Joseph and think that God just opened up the door and made everything just bed and roses for Joseph. But now, catch this a minute. When he went and he was taken by his brothers, they were talking about killing him. Then they decided to sell him, and the Bible said there that he besought them. In other words, he pleaded, he begged with them not to do it. Now imagine how that would be if your brothers had took you and was selling to a bunch of strangers and you didn't know what was going to happen to you and you were just a teenage boy. Imagine what that would be like. And so the Bible says that in verse 21, the last part, and we would not hear, therefore, in this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by interpreter. Now skip, if you would, on over to 43. So what happened was, Joseph decided to keep one of their brothers there, and he sent them back to get his brother, Benjamin. And so what they did was this. Joseph told the helper to put all their money that they paid for the corn and all the money they paid for the food that they come and got, to put it back in their sacks. And sure enough, and he took Simeon, bound him, and put him in prison right in front of them. So they knew that he meant business. So then they went back and they started back to their father in Canaan. They stopped at the inn, and they noticed in their bags that all their money had been put back in their bags. That really scared them. Because now, not only did he have Simeon, but he also wanted to bring Benjamin back. And when they go back before this guy that talked so rough to them and took his brother, what's he going to do when they still got their money? And they didn't know how in the world their money got in there. Now, they didn't know that Joseph had commanded it to be put in there. So imagine the emotions that was going on with these. And so they went back home. They told their dad. Well, time passed. And then food became scarce again. So the Bible says that Israel, which was Jacob, their dad, look back even verse 43, in verse number 11, and said their father Israel, chapter 43, verse 11, said their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do it this, take of the best fruits in the land of your vessels, and carry down the man of present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrhs, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise and go again to the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. The men took the present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Now, let me stop right there and say this. So what Jacob told them to do, because when it got scarce again, they had to have some more food, and they had to go get Simeon. He said, what I want you to do is, he said, I want you to take double the money of what you paid for it, then also take the money back that you found in your sack, and take all these other things as a gift, and give that man over there in Egypt that's overseeing, that's distributing out this food, that he will not be angry. He said, take your brother too. If it happens that I have to be bereaved, I just have to be bereaved. But he said, I'm trusting God will oversee you. Now, look on. And verse number 16 says, and when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready for these men, shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought in Joseph's house, and they said, because of the money that was returned in their sacks at first time, are we brought in that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they commanded with him, or communed with him, at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at first to buy food. It came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not, your God, the God of your father, hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he besought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and gave them water, and washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender, and they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon. For they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, is your father well, the old man of whom ye spake? Is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health, he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obedience. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious to thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber, and he wept there. Now notice that Joseph wept. And he washed his face, and he went out, and he reframed himself and said, set on bread. He still didn't want them to know exactly who he was yet. And they set on him for him by himself, and for them by themselves, for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to the birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and he sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank, and they were merry with him. I'm going to stop right there. And I want to bring about a couple of thoughts. Now, I got thinking about several things that a lot of us was going through. Emotions. I've talked to many different ones going through different things that has all kinds of emotions. And I heard someone say and make this statement to a little boy this week, big boys don't cry. I've heard some people say, men don't cry. Well, Joseph was a pretty good man. He cried. David wept. And David, the mighty men of David that fought like warriors that there was no match to, they wept when they came into Ziklag and their wives and children were gone. They wept till they couldn't weep no more. And by the way, Jesus wept. Sometimes we think emotions. Now, let me say this, and I want you to understand. I've taught on this. I'm not going to spend much time with it. But your flesh, you have sinful flesh. You have a sinful nature. Amen. There is that within you that wants to do everything wrong.
Amen.
Everything. You may not realize it, but it's within you. That's your flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There is nothing good in your flesh. Every one of you has that nature. When you got saved, you didn't lose that nature. You just got another nature added into that nature, which is the divine nature. But when you got saved, when God gave you that divine nature, as we preached the other morning, He made your body the temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God moved in. Your spirit was made alive. Your spirit, His spirit, communicates with your spirit that you are a child of God. So what you need to understand is there is a connection there where your spirit is a part of you that worships with God and communes with God. That's what enables you to pray to God and fellowship with God. Until your spirit is made alive, you can't approach God. You can't approach God because you've got to approach Him through the blood of Jesus. Now, in between that is your soul. Your soul, and I've taught this many times, I know most of you know it, but I'm just saying for sake of the who don't. Your soul is where your emotions are. It is where your memory, your affections, different things that you go through in life, all the different things that you have going on in your life, that's your soul. Now, your soul is affected by your spirit and by your flesh. And your soul, the way you think, your attitudes, all the different things, is affected. You have fruits of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, all those things. Then you also have works of the flesh. Both of those are striving for your soul to get you, your soul, to think the way they want it to think, to do the things they want it to do. Your flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and in between is your soul. Now, I said that to say this. Everybody here has feelings. You have emotions. You say, oh, so-and-so, I never see any emotions in them. They may hide it, but they've got them. Amen. But let me say this. I can't tell you how many times people make this statement to me. I feel. Can I say something? While you still have your flesh, the way you feel is not always right. Your feelings may be completely off base. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. I can't tell how many people tell me, well, I think this. Your mind is part of your soul. Just because you think something doesn't mean that makes it right. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it makes it right. Amen. But let me say this. We are all susceptible to emotions. There is nothing wrong with emotions. I want to pick out a few emotions that was going on in this setting that we have before us. First of all, Joseph's brothers. They were afraid. They were afraid because here they were. They had to leave their brother behind. Now they had to bring their young brother. They got accused of being spies the first time. Now they come, and the first thing they did was take him into Joseph's house. They didn't know what was going to happen to him. They were scared. They were afraid. Someone said that there was 365 fear nots in the Bible. Now listen to me a minute. There will come a time in your life, many times in your life, when if you're not careful, your emotions, you will be afraid. And when you get scared and afraid, you can't trust God when you're fearing. You hear me? Trusting God takes away your fear.
Amen.
That's why it says, cast all your cares upon me. That's why it says, be anxious of nothing, but let your prayer and supplications with thanksgiving be made known unto God. That's why he tells you to come that we can come to the throne of grace, boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. What I'm telling you is sometimes we get afraid. And if we're not careful, we let our emotions run away. I tell Chris sometimes, she talks about, she gets worried about something may happen or something going on in our lives, our family lives, our health, or something like that. Same way, you know, we Misty up there today, and different ones go to court, different ones facing other issues in marriages and things, all kinds of different issues. Children, all these. It's easy to catch yourself being scared and afraid. And so many times we get so afraid of things that don't even come to pass. And we sit and we beat ourselves up in fear. God doesn't want us to have fear. The Holy Spirit of God has given us a spirit that is not of fear. But what we have to do is we have to learn the flesh causes us to fear. Because what we do is we take our eyes off of God. That's why the Bible says, perfect peace has he whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth thee. But even if you look, when the men were scared, look back in verse 23 a moment. Even the servant of Joseph, a pagan servant, he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks, and I your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. He told him, he said, fear not, because you're God. See, he'd been with Joseph enough to know how Joseph trusted his God. Now, Joseph went through some emotions, but Joseph learned to trust. I mean, when he was falsely accused and had to go to prison because of Potiphar's wife, he could have gotten mad at the whole world. He got mad at God. He could have been scared the whole time. But you know why it was such a testimony? He learned that he could rise above the fear. And he learned to trust God. Doesn't mean that he didn't go through some different emotions. Why? He went through emotions when he was sold. Imagine when he ended up in Egypt. Imagine when he got put into prison. I mean, all those things, you can imagine what Joseph must have went through emotionally. But Joseph had learned, and here his brothers had not learned. They were dealing with fear. But they was dealing with another issue in their life called guilt. They were guilty because of what they had done to their younger brother. They had no idea this was their younger brother sitting here. But they were guilty. Now there is a good guilt. The Bible says when the Holy Ghost of God came and sent to us, that it would make us guilty of sin. It's good. If you've never been brought and made guilty and felt guilty for your sins before God, you haven't got saved. Because when you get saved, you come to God as a guilty sinner. And the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin and shows you your lost condition, and it draws you to God.
Amen.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. That's a good guilt. But there's also a guilt where the Bible says in Psalms 103 that your sin has been placed as far as the east is from where? The west. Your sins will you remember no more. Jesus took our sin. As a matter of fact, you go back in the Old Testament in Numbers 11 and the burnt offerings, they would take an animal and they would place their hand upon that animal and confess their sin. They kill that animal, put him up on there and burn him, and they transferred their sin to that animal. That's what God did with Jesus. And whosoever believeth upon him, he's took our guilt. And you know, there's a lot of things I can feel guilty about. I look back in my life and I'd love to go back and change a lot of things. But I can't beat myself to death and be fearful all my life because of what I've done. I can't be afraid. I have to remember that God, when I got saved, and even after I got saved, there's things I'd love to go back and take back. But I'm glad that God was able to cast them upon Jesus. Amen. Now, not only that, but also think about, and by the way, then Joseph. Joseph, when he was brought there and his brothers and he saw Benjamin, he couldn't hold his emotions. He just wanted to burst out and he wanted to go cry. As a matter of fact, what he did was he looked for a place where he'd go cry, and he retired back to his chambers and he cried and he wept and he cleaned his face and he come back in there. You read in the Bible, there were several people. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't think you ought to show emotions. I think we ought to show more emotions what we do, but I do believe this. I believe there are some different denominations that just thrive on emotions and not on real spirit. But let me say this. There are some men of God that's gone through some pretty tough things. David, whenever his son Absalom betrayed him, and when Joab killed his son, and he went, he just wept bitterly. Imagine if your son was killed. And some of you have gone through that. Some of you have lost a daughter. Some of you have lost brothers and sisters. Chris lost a brother back in 1975, and it still hurts. And that's been 40 years ago, some years ago. My point is emotions. And somebody said, well, we shouldn't show them. Job showed them. Job, when he lost everything, he wanted to die. Elijah, after Mount Carmel, when God showed himself so mighty and sent fire down from heaven and lit, he went out under Jupiter's tree and just wanted to die. You find over and over and over different ones letting their emotions. Joseph here, he was taken by his brother. He saw them. Now, he'd heard, he knew that they regretted what they did because he heard them talking about it. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know he could understand Hebrew. And when he saw Benjamin, he was so moved, he went out and he began to weep. And then he cleaned his face up and he come back to him. Then he told his servants to have a dinner, and they were going to have a dinner. And so he set them down, and they were amazed because when he set them down according to their age. And he began to send food off of his table. Now, he was a bigwig in Egypt, and the Egyptians could not sit with the Hebrews and share a meal. And so what he would do is he would send portions of his, because he would have a lot finer food. He would send his food over there to their table. And Benjamin, he was sending five times the amount he sent to all the rest of his brothers. Now you can imagine the emotions that they had, that he had. But I also want you to understand the Bible says quite a bit about emotions. I've got three verses I want to leave you with here in a minute. I want to just bring a couple points out. Sometimes we get the testimony, those of us who are saved, we get the testimony from the world that we look like we've eaten a bunch of sour apples. We catch ourselves never smiling, never laughing, never having joy. Is it possible for a Christian to do that? Yes. But it's not possible when they're letting the Spirit lead the soul. It's only possible when the flesh is leading the soul. But listen to these three verses. Turn with me if you would. I'm going to show you these three and I'm going to close. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs real quickly. All three of them is found right there in Proverbs. Now I want you to think about these verses. And I'll try to tie it all together here in just a moment. Chapter 17 of Proverbs. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. A merry heart doeth good like what? But a broken spirit drieth the bones. Did you know that laughter is healthy for you? If you can't have a good time, somebody said, well, I think you ought to be serious. The Bible teaches that the older men ought to be grave when it comes to matter that you deal with certain matters of seriousness. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a good time. Doesn't mean you can't have a laugh. Doesn't mean you can't have a merry heart. And can I tell you what? You know what's sending so many people anymore to have such health issues? They don't have any medicine of a merry heart. Everything around them, they worry themselves to death. They think the worst of everything that's going to happen. And they just sit and they worry. You need a good dose of medicine. Find something to laugh about. Find something to have a good time with. Clean, right? But there's a lot in life to be happy about. But learn to trust God with all this other stuff. I don't know. Several of you are going through things. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but I know this. We have a God that's able to do what he wants to do with it.
Amen.
And if he puts us through emotion, I don't know why he calls Joseph when he was 17 years old to be put down in a pit and sold to them. Well, I'd see the end of it now, but I don't understand why Joseph had to go through all those emotions and feelings and hurt. But he did. Because God sometimes, the end product of what he's going to bring, he has to bring us through those things sometimes. Some of the greatest men of God, he took through some things. So a merry heart is like good medicine. Know that? Look if you would in Proverbs 15. Some of you ladies, I'm going to pick on you a minute. You spend a fortune, makeup, some gets facials, some gets this, some gets that. I won't say what Brother Sisson says. I'll throw it on him. He said, every old barn needs a coat of paint every now and then, but I would not dare say nothing like that. But look here. Look if you would in verse 13. A merry heart maketh what? You know what makes your face look a little younger? Having a cheerful heart. Having a merry heart. Finding some things in life to smile about. Finding some things that you say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but I know who does. And I also know one that can get you through it. He may have plans. You say, well, I can't see what he's bringing up. I'm sure if you asked Joseph when he was in the pit, he probably couldn't told you what was on his agenda either. And when he was in prison, he probably couldn't told you what was in the agenda. But I'll tell you what, sitting there then, there his brothers was bowing just as God had told him that they would. And there they were bowing time and time again before him, just as God said it was going to do. It was God working his plan out the whole time. And God had a reason to bring Jacob and all the family into Egypt. Then he had a reason to take them out of Egypt later on, as we read. Look one more place, and I'll close. Look, if you would, in chapter 15, you're there. Look, if you would, in number 15, verse 15. It says, all the days of the afflicted are what? But he that is of merry heart had the what? He said, listen. He said, wear yourself out, stress yourself out, wear yourself down, learn to have a merry heart. And if you do that, you can learn to have a continual feast. Just have a good time. Not that you don't take things serious, but what you do is you learn that through those motions, because what reason I'm telling you this, you know, just like Tim was saying back there, can you imagine what those parents that had that 10-year-old son hang his little 4-year-old brother or sister? Sister. And then hung himself. Can you imagine what they were going through? And that life is full of issues that we're all going to face, folks. Emotions are part of our lives. But don't let your emotions tear you down. Understand we all have them. But learn to take your issues to God. And learn not to let your issues get a hold of your flesh. Prison is full of people that allow their emotions be affected by their flesh. How many girls and boys have had babies that they've had to deal with the rest of their life because they let their flesh get out of control? How many churches and homes have been split up because of anger, resentment, other issues that they allowed their emotions through their flesh to get the best of them? Folks, and I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd. We all have it. There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with having emotions. But learn to take them to the right place. And understand that God has a plan for all of us. And we are to trust Him in these situations. He's much more capable of working things out than we are in our own flesh. That's why he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. Let's stand, Brother Porter. Thank you. Maybe tonight God spoke to your heart. You need to come. However God may lead you, would you obey Him tonight?